Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. I guess you're going to Edmonton at Christmas. What's the plan there? We got the World Juniors. That was a big announcement today.
It was Sir Brian.
thank you, Ray. That's very appropriate and very honorable of you to address me properly. Thank you.
Yeah, so it looks like the bubble in the JW Marriott or the Westin or the Sutton Place, wherever they put us there. And Christmas with Gord. That's just what I was hoping for.
Yep.
Does that mean we're all in the bubble?
No way. What are you going to get me for Christmas? I'm already starting to shop for you.
Yeah, you waking up with you and Gord is not my idea of Christmas. No thanks.
I think it'll be fantastic.
I'm ecstatic that they're playing. I mean, the NHL did all the heavy lifting for them, right? They just said, here's the framework, go with it. And Edmonton, the IIHF, and I would assume, you know, a lot of the players are going to show up. Maybe some will opt out. You know, I don't think we should be surprised by anything in 2020. And with COVID, it's more than just the right. Of course they can do that.
Right.
But I'm happy that the tournament's going to happen. I'm really looking forward to it.
Did you guys get the sense though that the NHL is going to start after that?
I don't know if they're aligned at all. How did you read it, Ray? I never even thought to connect the two.
Yeah, my guess is the next hockey we're going to see is the World Junior.
I agree.
Everything that I read and talking to a few people is that, you know, this bubble that, you know, is worked incredibly well is not really on the table for the 2021 season for the NHL. Like they're trying to figure out, okay, when can we get people in the building? And I don't think anybody's got that answer yet, but that'll delay further the start. But that's why, of course, that we have a bubble for the juniors. Like that's it, right?
This is maybe a stupid question, but how are they going to pick the team? Like, you know how you got people watching these guys, watching progress. What progress? I don't understand how the team's going to get picked.
Well, I always get the sense when we get to that camp in the middle of December that they've got about 85% of the team picked.
Okay.
That they know which guys are going to be on it for the most part. And then the last few half dozen spots are usually competed on and won in the camp and that game against the college team. But now they're going to have to do it all on, you know, I see the OHL has an announcement tomorrow about their season and what they're planning to do. But it'll be a challenge for the North American teams, I think, more so, because I think in Europe they're probably a little bit ahead as far as getting going here, and they'll have a longer look at some of the guys. The returnee players are going to be easy, right? If you were a returnee player that might have been on the bubble, this is probably the best scenario for you to get back on the team.
Yeah, I think you're a lock at that point, and I think the fact that it is a bubble, you know, is going to likely avoid some of the blowback that is going to be inevitable. I mean, I think this will get a little bit of the college football treatment. They're kids. They're not getting paid. Should they be in this position? International travel, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the fact that it's going to be in a bubble allows it to happen and likely will stop some people from having that opinion. You know, and this is truly a life-altering, life-changing platform for some players. You perform well at the juniors, it can change your life. And I think that was the reaction from a lot of people in college football, too. I want to play. I feel like I have to because I want to make it to the NFL.
For sure. There is, the fact that there's TV money involved, lots of it, for college football and for the World Juniors, that's a factor. You can't walk by it and say, oh yeah, but I don't want to talk about the finances. Well, you have to. The NHL spent close to $75 million, I believe, in running these bubbles. Like it costs significant money to do it, and you can't just make the money appear out of thin air. So, the teams, I think Dregs reported today for the World Juniors, the teams are flying over on three charters. Maybe they'll be, and I'm just, you know, kind of spitballing here, but maybe there'll be extra players that come into the bubble then, and teams will be able to, as they play a couple exhibition games in Edmonton in the bubble, you know, there's a couple of rinks in the ice district. They could play in the exhibition games in the practice rink, and maybe teams can make their final cuts in there. And maybe that's what, for example, what Canada might do with, if, you know, if they got 21 guys on the roster, maybe they bring 24 and they have those last couple, decisions to be made in Edmonton.
So they exit the bubble, basically, if they get cut.
Right, and then they're gone.
Type of thing. Yeah, it makes sense. You got to bring extra guys into there. I know, a few of my buddies are involved in Hockey Canada, and they've been having a lot of, like, Zooms and stuff like that, talking to players. So I would imagine that's kind of, you know, to your point, how they're going to be choosing the team. Like, there's no hockey until...
Can you imagine how nerve-wracking that would be if you're an 18-year-old on the bubble and the coach is... Zooming, you know, like a Zoom call with you, you got to think you'd be freaking out, you know, trying to keep your composure and selling yourself effectively.
But my biggest point, Brian, is like the amount of time these kids are off. They went off the ice right on March 12th, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And when are they going to be back on the ice? Like, that's what I'm wondering. Like, they haven't. They're not playing. What are they doing?
I think in the queue they're starting up. I think in Quebec they're starting up. The OHL, we don't know.
Same with the Western League. I know a lot of guys are doing skill development, and then at lower leagues. So there, a lot of them are on the ice and haven't really missed a beat being on the ice, but they've been adhering to social distance rules on the ice. So it's not games, it's not physical contact, but it's all skill development. Because I know a coach who's been running a lot of it for some junior players, and he said it's tough because you're not getting the actual act of competition, but you are still going through, and his challenge has been to design drills so that guys are still getting developed, because really you've got 12 guys on the ice because that's all they allow, and how do you maximize that ice time for these guys? Like, it's and it depends on where you are. If you're in BC, Alberta, even if you're in the Toronto area, like, what are you doing for these young players?
Yeah, scaling back in Toronto.
Yeah.
Right,
exactly.
Ottawa scaling back.
Yeah,
no, it's going to be the most unique World Junior tournament ever. I mean, everything in 2020 has been the most unique. ... And this will just follow suit. We had a little wager going earlier that I'm sure would not surprise you.
I'm not at all surprised
as to whether or not Braden Point is actually going to play tonight. O was certain he will. I am certain he won't. How do you interpret game time decision?
Well, given that 2 days ago, John Cooper said we may never see him again in these playoffs, or he might be ready next game, this seems to be a step forward from that. I think he's going to play.
Yeah, see, that's former players, understand.
There he is, a grizzled vet,
former
Gordie Howe. How many games did he play, 2,000, 2,200? Yeah.
820 more than you. Ray, I was trying to explain to Hayes earlier. It's you only get this chance so many times. I think it's just whether it be right or wrong, injured or hurt or whatever it is, sometimes you just say to yourself, I got to go in there.
But don't you remember, guys, like convincing yourself you were fine? You're like, I think I'm fine. I can do this. And then about three shifts in, you go, oh boy, I'm not fine, but I got to figure this out now.
That's it.
Yeah, depending on the injury, it's depending on the injury though.
Yeah.
Like if the injury is something that is, you know, not structural, it's more pain management, that type of stuff. Then it gets you can block it out. If it's actually structural, like I've had a structural injury where I played, where I had a broken sternum. And I couldn't move my arms, but I was still playing. You know, like I was moving around a little bit, flapping around.
Like,
but
that doesn't seem like good stuff for a goalie.
No.
I can't move my arms.
Green light special for the opposition. Proline had the total at 12.5 goals.
Yeah, believe me. But nobody knew I had a sternum injury because you didn't have to report it. But it was They're very, very painful, and it was a structural issue. But, you know, I remember.
Well, he missed a game, though. What did he miss? Game four, was it?
Yeah.
He missed? Like, he's already missed one where that was go time, conference final, and he couldn't play. I mean, he's clearly, I think he's dealing with multiple injuries.
Yeah, Brad, you never know.
But here's the thing, though, like, the decision for Cooper, and, you know, also on point, of course, but is that, okay, what can you give me? Like, what can you give us? And if you think you can play and you play two shifts and then you're gone, now I'm really screwed because I'm down a forward. If Point plays, they'll have to dress 6D because they'll need 12 forwards. You can't play 11 forwards, including Point, if you're not sure that he can play. And so it's going to have it'll have a trickle-down effect on the entire lineup. But even if he plays just to be on the power play or something, that say that's only 6 or 7 minutes of the night. Well, what if he makes that one play? The other night they've got, you know, they're tied 1-1, they get a power play. Man, what if he makes one play?
Mm-hmm. Two shifts a period with Kucherov and the power play, he could be a game breaker.
Yeah, you're right. Like,
the reasoning, and you're right. I mean, if he's on the fourth line and only giving you 7 or 8 minutes anyway, it's, you know, thank you, I appreciate the effort, but we're going to go with someone else.
Two shifts a period with Kucherov in the power play. Make something happen.
You're right. Like, but the only thing is, if it's a back or a knee or a hip flexor or a groin, but like if it's his head, if it's actually like a concussion or concussion-like symptoms, that's something you can't mess with. Right? Like, that's where
that
the
should
doctor...
never be a game time decision. Anyway.
I understand. Did you, Noodles, did it not look like to you when he got squeezed up against the boards there?
Yeah.
Like, it didn't look like much. So to me, I'm like, that's either a core or an ankle. Or like,
yeah, I thought it was a back or something. Like, to me, Kucherov, when he got injured the other day, he looked like he tweaked his back or something. Like, he was hunched over on the bench. The same thing. Like, Point, that wasn't an egregious hit he took, and he was in a lot of pain. So I didn't, you know, you couldn't tell what it was. I don't know. You guys would have had having body contact. What's a stinger in your neck? What are those called? Is it just a stinger?
Stinger in the neck.
Yeah,
that's what Muzzin had, basically. I think, like, that's my understanding, is that's what Muzzin.
Well, the only thing I ever had around a neck was there was a scrum and somebody was trying to twist my neck off, and the next day, like, I couldn't turn my head to the left. And I'm like, well, yeah, I think I can play. And he just kind of made it work, but I couldn't look out my left shoulder. That's not a very comfortable way to play.
No. Right. You had the heat pack on it before the game. That's what it was.
Remember that? You tack that thing on. You're like, yeah, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Hey, by the way, how long have we been doing this show? How long have my hits been at 5 o'clock Eastern?
Forever.
Like years, right?
Yeah, 4 years, years 5 years. Yeah.
You guys ever get a call from the Quizmaster while you're on the air?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
All the time.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care about, like, what you're doing. He cares that he needs to speak to you right now. And it doesn't matter what time of the day it is, whether it's 6:20 in the morning or it's at night or whatever. He will call you during, I don't know how many times, how many times has the Quizmaster called you during the show?
500.
Well, he just called, and I'm like, he has to know.
But he doesn't care. He needs to talk to you.
He might be watching. He might have heard you make a point. Said, you know,
he
that's a good point.
He expects a full hang up and you to answer somehow.
I love it.
Ray,
so
did you
funny.
Get to know Manny Malhotra at all in Vancouver? He's coming to Toronto, obviously. What's his deal as far as the coaching?
A1 guy, like, top notch person. Really smart, really a detailed guy. I think Manny is on his way to being an excellent coach. Like, as an assistant coach, he will help the penalty killers. He was money in the face-off circle. A really, really sharp hockey guy. Like, I think he's got a long future as a coach. And I don't think as an assistant coach. I mean, he's really just getting going kind of in his coaching. I guess in its infancy, really. I think it's an excellent hire for a staff and an organization that thinks, you know, thinks more about the future, I would say, or about possibility than teams that think about the immediacy. Like, this is what I got now. I think they can see real promise in Malhotra.
Yeah, well, that's a very positive assessment. I mean, I looked at it as, okay, is this going against the grain in terms of you hiring another kind of young up-and-comer, much like Keefe is, much like Dubas is, you know, as opposed to kind of conventional wisdom, all right, we got to get a grizzled vet who's been around, maybe that's been a head coach before. But as you explain it that way, I think it makes sense. You know, I think the Leafs are, they're in for a penny, they're in for a pound here. Like, this is how they're doing it. They're doing it new age, new wave. Whether it's going to work or not, we have no idea. You know, we'll find out. But they're not going to, you know, stop in their tracks and say, okay, just because we've got to go get this guy who's been in the league for 30 years. You know, we've got to go get Rick Bonus 2.0 and bring him in. It's like, we're committed. We're going to do it. And I think that might suggest how this offseason is going to work out. You know, we keep yelling and screaming, or a lot of people are like, got to add size, got to add physicality, got to build like this team, build like that team. I don't know if they're going to do that. I really don't know if Kyle Dubas actually believes that is the right move.
I don't understand how you couldn't think somewhat like that, Brian, watching these playoffs. Regardless of how much skill is going on out there, if you don't have some level of physicality, you don't win. Sorry. I don't care how much you like skill or the puck. If you don't have that, you don't win. End of story.
Well, as much as I think we'd, well, at least I would like to see more goals all the time, much to my disappointment, every year the best teams are the ones that defend the best.
Yeah, and they're difficult to play against.
Yeah, so, yeah. Like, I had a GM tell me that at the very least, your defense have to fill up the defensive zone. So, you know, like he's talking about tall, long guys, you know, long stick positions, they're big. They, you know, like Muzzin's not the fastest guy around, but he takes up a lot of space. If you've got a bunch of little defensemen, they don't take up space. And look how many teams get to this point in the season with little teams. The answer is none. There's none. Like, Tampa got punted last year, and they went and added five really big guys. They added 20% of their roster, and it's all size. And I think there's got to be a balance. It's like we talked about when the Leafs got eliminated. Whatever it is, if you've got how you compose your roster, there's got to be a balance to it. And you know, it doesn't. Toronto doesn't have balance right now, and we'll see what the balance looks like whenever the heck it is they get to camp.
Yeah, they got lots of time.
Yep. Oh, yeah, they got time. And we'll see. I mean, Dubas is the one that brought in Muzzin, right, and brought in Kyle Clifford. It's not like he has exclusively brought in guys who are 5'8", 165, but I think they just continue to think in down a different path. You know, they have a different view. Dubas has a different view.
Yeah, and you're allowed to have that alternative view.
Of course.
And you have to, and you also
but
have
it better
to,
work. You know, that goes without saying as well.
Well, you hope as a fan base you give him time to at least try and execute exactly what he wants to do. I think he's on the way to doing that. But, you know, what is the time frame? Because you don't have 8 years to make this work. Austin Matthews' deal is up in how many years? Three? Or four?
Four more.
Four now.
Yeah,
four more years. Like, you know, you've got to execute here in 4 years. Not suggesting he's not going anywhere. I'm just saying, like, this is the wheelhouse for a lot of these guys. John Tavares is not getting younger. Morgan Riley's not getting younger. Frederick Anderson.
They're
not
building
younger.
For 5 years down the road.
That's
they're
point.
Supposed to be building
the
for
one
right
thing
now.
I would say, though, guys. The one thing I would say, you know, Brian, you said it better work. Well, every year, 30 teams, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whatever they're doing. So. Yeah. This is the way they see it, and, you know, October the 9th will open up the door as to, you know, what they do in free agency. I guess just a few days before that's the draft and any trades that might go around that. But I can't imagine we're going to see something radically different compared to what we've seen over the last little bit. I mean, this is the way that they see it.
Yep, and it's a big offseason for every team, you know, Leafs included, and they're back into the first round, which I think is a real boost for them as well and a bonus with that 15th pick courtesy of the Kapanen deal. So we'll leave it there, and we'll see where we're at tomorrow at 5:05.
Talk to you then. See you, Sir Brian.
Thank you, Sir Ray. Appreciate it. Sir Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's Maple Toyota's birthday, and they're giving you the gifts this month. Buy any new vehicle and receive a free gift. Red Tag savings continue with rates from 0%.